Maranatha, and Mike Tagubin. Welcome, beloved, to a few moments of Bible study together, and I'm glad that you've decided to join us. I trust that you'll be blessed as we again look into the Word of God. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of God. And how good it is to taste and see that the Lord is good. He is wonderful, beloved, and God's way is always the best way. We've been studying here in Genesis chapter 32 and 33 regarding Jacob wrestling with God and how that he became a God-conquered man and bore the mark of that experience with God for the rest of his life. The rest of his life he was a crippled man, and he had to depend upon the Lord and look to God for direction and for guidance in every area of his life. We discussed the Apostle Paul and how that Paul had a glorious experience going into the third heaven, into paradise, into the presence of God, and saw things that were too wonderful for man's tongue to relate. And it's recorded in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. This experience that he had, and God gave him a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, the Bible says, that would keep him humble and keep him from being exalted above measure, as he came to the realization that this life is just a place by which we're passing through, and the best is yet to come. And after that experience, the Apostle Paul stated, I would rather depart and be with Christ, which is far, far better. Yes, beloved, the earthly walk here is just temporary, and we are to live with the eternal in mind, as 2 Corinthians chapter 4 points out. The world is passing away. The things of this life are temporary. They're not going to last. They're not going to endure. So, beloved, don't invest your life in the temporary. Invest your life in the eternal. Live with eternity's values in view. Yield your life to the Lord God, and let Him become Lord in every area of your life to His honor, His glory, and His praise. Well, Jacob goes on to meet Esau. You remember Esau was coming with 400 men. Esau had vowed to kill Jacob because of the rejection that Jacob had given to him. And so Esau is now coming to meet Jacob with a small army. And Jacob thinks that he's going to be wiped out and be killed by his brother. And that's why he finally turns to the Lord God for help. And that's when he wrestles with the Lord, and God conquers him. And as he walks with a limp from that day forward, a reminder that he must depend upon God, and that God has changed his name to Israel, and that he is a man who now has power with God. Jacob submits to God's plan, and he goes out to meet Esau. And we read the account in Genesis 33 again, verse 1 through 10. Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah and her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. And he lifted up his eyes, Esau lifted up his eyes and saw the women and the children and said to Jacob, Who are those with thee? And Jacob said, The children which God hath graciously given thy servant. Then the handmaidens came near, they and their children, and they bowed themselves. Leah also with her children came near and bowed themselves, and after came Joseph near and Rachel, and they bowed themselves. And Esau said, What meaneth thou by all this drove which I met? And Jacob said, These are to find grace in the sight of my Lord. And Esau said, I have enough, my brother. Keep that thou hast unto thyself. And Jacob said, Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me. Oh, yes, Esau was pleased with Jacob. God had touched Esau's heart, and God had caused Esau to forgive Jacob and to accept him and to throw his arms around him. And Jacob was so thrilled at the acceptance, so grateful for the acceptance, that he said, Seeing you receive me with grace, and my finding grace in your sight, as is if I had seen the face of God, and please accept these from me as a token of my love for you. This is what he was saying in essence, through the statements that he made. And so we see that Esau accepted Jacob. And it is exciting, beloved, to watch God work in our lives. When we yield and submit to him, God had been working all along in Jacob's life, but Jacob hadn't seen it. He hadn't realized it. He hadn't recognized it because he was walking after the flesh. But after he yielded fully to the Lord and became a God-conquered man, he began to see the blessings of God that had been with him that he had not seen before, and his whole life became changed and transformed. Man was, because of sin, ejected from the Garden of Eden, the paradise of God, and thus he was separated from God. The holiness of God rejected man's sinfulness. But the love of God made the way for man to be set free. Through the Lord Jesus Christ, who said in John 14:6, I am the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And so the Lord Jesus Christ is the way to God the Father, the way to freedom from the bondage of sin, the way to become righteous and accepted in Almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We read in 1 Corinthians 1:30. Well, let's begin with verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world. And things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. For of him, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. That according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. O beloved, this is what God has done for every child of God, for every believer. He has made Christ to be unto us wisdom. In Christ, when we accept Him as Savior, God sends the Holy Spirit into our spirit. The Holy Spirit is spoken of as the Spirit of Truth in the book of Romans. Pardon me. And the Spirit of Truth, the Holy Spirit, begins to open up the Word of God to us. He unlocks the truth. And we read here in 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, I hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Yes, the Bible tells us that Christ is made unto us wisdom, and through believing in Christ and accepting him as Savior, the Holy Spirit moves into our spirit. John chapter 3 and verse 6 tells us that which is born of the flesh is flesh, physical birth. That which is born of the Spirit of God is spirit, spiritual birth. And so it's in our spirit that the Holy Spirit comes to dwell. 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20 tells us that our body is the temple, the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, and we're not our own, for we're bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And so the Holy Spirit of God leads us into truth. The Holy Spirit of God opens up our understanding and helps us to realize and know the things of God. In verse 13, Paul wrote, "Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." Yes, the Lord Jesus Christ, through the indwelling Holy Spirit, becomes the wisdom of God to us. He becomes our righteousness, so that his righteousness is imputed into us, we're told in the book of Romans. He becomes our sanctification. That is, we're made holy and pure and justified and righteous through the indwelling Holy Spirit of Christ living in us, and thus our glorious redemption. Oh, beloved, the wonder of belonging to the living God, of yielding and surrendering to him, and find our acceptance in him. Till next time, goodbye.